I want to draw your attention to a verse in Psalm 119 and verse 128. Psalm 119 is the longest division of Scripture in the Bible. Practically every verse refers to the Word of God. And as I heard one preacher say, Psalm 119 is what the Bible has to say about the Bible. Psalm 119 in verse 128, he says, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now this ought to be the attitude of every Christian. As a matter of fact, if you want to really get down to the foundation of what we profess to be, we could say that if you don't have this attitude, then you're not a Christian. And this is something in which we are to examine ourselves instead of examining others. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. How much that is needed today. That the Word of God is the final absolute authority for all behaviors, all attitudes, the way we live our life, at home or on the job, or the way we conduct ourselves as a church. We need to esteem all the Lord's precepts concerning all things to be right. And with that as our foundation, we then should hate every false way. A false way is any way that is contrary or not consistent with the teachings of God's Word. We were talking at lunch about how that we're living in a feeling-oriented society. That people make major decisions. They make they determine their moral positions and how they live their lives based on feeling instead of the Word of God. And yet the prophet Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, with that in mind, I want you to also consider this. Not only is the Word of God absolute truth and absolutely authoritative, it also contains everything you need to live a godly life. Did you know that? It doesn't matter whether you lived in the first century or whether you live in the 21st century. The point is, according to Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he says that God's divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, according to the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Did you hear it? The Word of God, the knowledge of God, which you will find in the Scriptures. This is our only certain source of the knowledge of God. And when we turn to the Word of God, we have within it all things you need pertaining to or with regard to how to live a godly life. None of today's moral problems are unaddressed by the Word of God. The Bible is not outdated. As a matter of fact, it is much more updated than many of the things that are published in the name of professional counsel. The Word of God gives you everything you need to know regarding life and godliness. And notice how important this is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, referring to God's word. Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I want you to see this, to see how up to date the Bible is. He says, when we esteem God's precepts concerning all things to be right, and when we recognize that within God's word we're given all things pertaining unto life and godliness, notice what Paul is teaching here. With that in mind, he says we can cast down imaginations. Now watch this. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, have you noticed in the world today that there are many things presented that are contrary to the Bible that are pushed with by saying things like this? Well, this is based on modern research. This is based on the experts. That's not new to the Word of God. No. He refers to every high thing, talking about the things that the world esteems high, the things that the educated of this world, the things they would promote. He says that through the knowledge of God, His Word, which is absolute, eternal truth, he says, with it we can cast down every high thing, listen to this, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Don't let Satan fool you. This is the Word of God. It doesn't restrict your life. It doesn't prevent you from enjoying life. It will save you from this untoward generation. And in whose mind the Word of God is foreign and unacceptable. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now notice the picture he's giving there. Your thoughts can wander in many directions. Your thoughts can be influenced by many sources, by many high things. But he says, with the Word of God, we can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The idea there is the world has many ideas. Paul talked to the church at Ephesus and warned them about being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. So notice here, he's saying that we can cast down those things that are contrary to the Word of God and bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Simply stated in Romans 3 and 4, Paul said this, let God be true and every man a liar. If your college professor promotes something contrary to this word, you in your mind say, God is true and that man is a liar. Every word of God is pure, the psalmist said. This is God's inspired word. Now, with that foundation laid, I want us to consider a scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Brothers and sisters, do we esteem God's precepts concerning all things to be right? The world is trying to destroy marriage. Notice what the writer here says. Marriage is honorable in all. That means God honors marriage, and you honor God when you honor marriage. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. The intimacy that God intended for a husband and wife in marriage is undefiled. That is what God has ordained. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, for the sake of time, we can't go into a lot of detail, but those two words, whoremongers and adulterers, in light of the passage in which they're used, would refer to anything outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Any and everything. He says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now let's consider this simple question. What is marriage? You know, when I was ordained 30 years ago, I never thought I would ask that question from the pulpit. And I don't say that to insult your intelligence. But there is a world out there that wants to poison your mind. And you young people, you listen to me, because this is not me talking, this is the Word of God talking. God created man and woman, and God intended, or God designed, marriage. So let's consider the question, what is marriage? Begin in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Here's the first point we need to understand. When it comes to man, God made two kinds, male and female. The scripture uses the word men or man, oftentimes in a generic way, referring to people. And that's the idea here. When God made man, he made two kinds, male and female. And since God created them, he put the right person in the right body. You hear me? God knew what he was doing. You didn't evolve from some mess, and therefore you're still a mess, and your mind's messed up, and you don't know who you're supposed to be. You are created by God. God made you male or female on purpose. He created them male and female. Now turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. He's going over this some more, and we're getting some additional information. He created two kinds, male and female. And verse 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. God said, it's not good for the male to be alone. I will make a help that is suitable, proper, meet for him. And God, who's the creator, determined I'm going to create a female who is a suitable helper, a companion to him. That's God's design. He says, the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And then he goes on and watch in chapter 2 still, verse 24. It says, based on this that God had created, he had created Adam and formed Eve from Adam. And then he says in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now I want you to see this. You know, the truth is simple. The world's ideas are complicated. God said, I'm going to make males and females. God said it was not good for the male to be alone, so I'm going to make a female as a suitable companion. Now watch this. In chapter 2, verse 24, he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. The word therefore means there's a reason why that a man is going to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And the reason is God made males and females. Therefore, a man, the male, shall leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, the female, and they shall be one flesh. That is the only relationship in terms of marriage that God ordained and honors and blesses. It doesn't matter what culture you're in. It doesn't matter where you live. God is honored in marriage. Now look at Mark chapter 10. We've just read about creation. Now we go forward a few thousand years, and this is when Jesus was living upon the earth in the likeness of sinful flesh. And he said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 6, he's been talking about the subject of divorce. And he says in verse 5, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. This is absolute truth. It was stated in the book of Genesis with regard to the creation. It's said again by Jesus thousands of years later. He says, from the beginning, God made them male and female for this cause. What cause? On the basis that he made two kinds of people. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. God joins male and female. He honors that. And what God honors, this oneness as a result of two coming together, this that God honors, let not man put asunder. There are a lot of things, ideas promoted in the world today that are contrary to what I've just set before you. Now, If there be someone here that doesn't believe the Word of God, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everyone here that believes that God is true and anything contrary to that is a lie. What if someone has desires? What if a man has a desire for a man? What if a woman has a desire for the woman? That's not new to the Word of God. Look at Leviticus chapter 18. And I want you to notice the procession here of sin. Leviticus chapter 18, and beginning with verse 22. Let's begin with verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Fornication. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. That's pretty much the equivalent of abortion. The difference is they were killed immediately after birth, and we're there today in America, aren't we? Some states now allow that. What comes next? Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. God's not addressing feelings. You see that? God said, this is wrong. It's wrong to lie with your neighbor's wife. It's wrong for your children to pass through the fire. It's wrong to lie with mankind as with womankind. And I know this might be hard to hear, but I'm just reading you what the Bible says. Verse 23, notice how we're still going down deeper into depravity. Verse 23 says, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. You don't think that can happen? The other three things before it have, and the other three things before it have become accepted. You see, if somebody says, oh, well, that bestiality, oh sure, that's wrong. I know that's wrong. Culture agrees that it's wrong. Culture at one time agreed that the other things were wrong. You can't go by what's culturally accepted. It will always change for the worse. And did you know what? Bestiality is the last thing on the list before judgment. That's the bottom of the barrel. Oh, let's save ourselves from the course of this world that is already within my lifetime accepted these other things that were once condemned. So how is a person to deal with this? Someone says, well, I have this attraction. There are many things your flesh may desire that you don't need to follow through with. No matter how much of a struggle as it is with you. A married man may struggle with looking upon another woman. Jesus said, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her in his heart, he's committed adultery in his heart. He looks upon another woman in that way. Should he follow through with that desire because he has it? No. And I don't want to get too graphic here. I'll say this one time. Child molesters are often attracted attracted to children. Should they follow through with it? No. See, you don't live based on what you feel. What does the Word of God say? Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. To show you how up to date the Bible is, Paul says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." The word mortify means put to death. That means they are alive. Here's the things in you that are alive. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Brother Chris was talking about how that we have two natures. Paul said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Can't you relate to that? You and I have the potential, the capability to wallow in the bottom of the pit of depravity. That's in our nature. And the Scripture gives ample evidence of God's children that have went that route. And I like the way Elder Harold Hunt said it one time, a child of God can live in such a way that they miss having everything worth having this side of heaven. But aren't you glad it's just this side of heaven? Someone says, "Oh, if I believe that way, I wouldn't care how I live." It affects me just the opposite. How about you? To know that no matter how much I mess up here, no matter how many mistakes I make, no matter how many times I miss the mark and fail and hurt myself and hurt others, aren't you glad the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His.
Amen.
But it also goes on to say, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let's look at a couple of other scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4. What I want you to see is that God in His Word, as manifested in His Word, understands that we struggle with sin. In Ephesians 4, verse 22, He says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Do you know what the word corrupt means? It's referring to something that is in the process of rotting. Something that is spoiled. You ever pulled something out of the back of the refrigerator that's been there a few months and you open it up and it's spoiled, it's corrupt, it's rotting. Paul uses that word under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to describe us. He says, "Put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt." How do I know it's corrupt? According to the deceitful lusts. Just because you have a lust doesn't make it right. And you know what? That's not who you are. In 2 Timothy 2:24, Paul says this to Timothy. He says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but he goes on to say that he is in meekness instructing them that oppose themselves. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive of him at will. Did you notice he says that we're not to strive as ministers of the gospel? And he said we're to instruct those that oppose themselves. Did you get it? When your flesh takes over, you are opposing yourself. God created you. He knew what He was doing. And notice finally, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. That means don't take on the image of the world. Don't think like they do. Don't behave like they do. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind's where it's at in terms of transformation. Renew your mind. That just means think differently. You were thinking in a way that's inconsistent with the Word of God. You renew your mind when you start thinking in harmony with God's Word. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to this now. That ye may prove, and one of the meanings of that word prove is scrutinize. That ye may scrutinize what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're not talking about some mystical will. We're talking about His will revealed in Scripture. You young people, when you go to school and other people are presenting ideas that you don't think are right, He says you renew your mind with the Word of God. You see what the Word of God says about it. And He says that you may scrutinize what others are saying, what others are advancing, the behaviors others that are engaging in. He says you scrutinize them, that He says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will for your life, you know what it is? Right here. That's God's will, for you to obey His Word. And then all these other things that aren't specifically spelled out in His Word for your life, like who He wants you to marry, what job He wants you to have, you just do what this Word says, and He'll bless you in those areas. Oh, let God be true, and every man a liar. And let's esteem all His precepts concerning all things to be right, and to hate every false way.